The Marty Shear Gold Show on Triple M.
Winner of Celebrity MasterChef 2021.
Here he is again. Towards a big revolt. Revolt. Oh!
Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. Marty, Nick Riebolt with us.
I know. What a treat.
Yeah, always good morning. A treat.
Always lovely to see you, Nick.
And you.
And you look suspiciously like you've got some sort of North Melbourne attire.
It does look like that, doesn't it?
It's got the kangaroo. Yep. It's got the same colours.
It's the Brighton Beach Junior Football Club hoodie.
Good hoodie.
Nice.
Good hoodie.
Yeah. Brighton Beach.
Just chucked it on.
They've adopted the ruse.
Thought I won't walk in a singlet again. We know how that ended last time.
You should walk in a singlet.
That ended on Insta. No one's going to stop you walking in a singlet.
That's all right.
Actually, we were just looking at some of the Doug Nichols jumpers. They're all amazing. I've got North at the top of the list.
Well, there you go. They're on top of the ladder.
St Kilda have done a wonderful job with theirs as well.
Bit of Nicky Winmar representation on the St Kilda jumper. We're talking about the Twilight Grand Final too.
Yeah.
Where do you sit?
Well, look, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because the idea of tradition is just disappearing from so many aspects of life and sport. And I always cite the pink ball test as my great, you know, the one that annoys me the most. I get it. But it's all about TV and ratings, isn't it? And if it's all about TV and ratings, Ed and Caro had a belter, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah. We've got a bit of that here. Let's here go. It is.
Look, 1,350 mouths to feed, just playing footy. Forget about grassroots. Forget about all the other stuff we have to do. Where's the money coming from? Is everybody... I mean, Caro didn't want to put up the Northern Stand at the MCG because of tradition. It was cancer-ridden. The leather seats were made out of...
That's not true.
Hey, don't make me go and find your column because I've got it indelibly marked up here.
That is every time, Caro. Stop it.
That was just a bit of the conversation.
It got pretty heated, didn't it?
What do you think?
Well, I was always of the opinion that day grand final, let's just leave it there because, well, it's more about the rest of us, to be honest. Let's go and actually be able to enjoy a good night after watching the footy and having a grand final. But Ed did make a really good point about the broadcast rights and the fact that we are trying to claw our way back as an industry. And we've got to pay for it. We've got to pay for it somewhere. And when we have announcements like we had yesterday with the AFL women's competition getting a 94% pay rise.
Phenomenal.
It seems to me like Gill's like that old grandfather now, and he realises he's getting towards the end. And so when you used to get $20 in your birthday card, now he's just like, you know what? I'm on the way out.
Have
50. He just puts a couple hundreds in there.
Oh, Jesus.
You know,
it's
like
really
so birthdays and Christmas.
It's just, legacy
you
time.
You open your card and you can't believe what's happened.
So it's legacy like time for
it
Gil.
It is for Gil. So, tick here and tick there, we'll move on to the men's deal. But the money's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
So if there is that big a difference, and Eddie was throwing like $50 million, $100 million around just for the change of time slot, two million extra eyeballs.
Yeah.
From the Twilight game compared to the day game. Well, then,
and you're in competition as well. You're in competition
you
with
are.
Other nighttime finals, like the NRL has shifted now and it does massive numbers. And so, it's beating the AFL in TV viewership as well. So you want to be in the same conversation.
So I think a night grand final is a big, big shift from tradition. Maybe a Twilight one is a compromise that allows us to reach a happy medium and pay for everything.
Well, a 4 o'clock kickoff, so you still got to have your pre-game. We're going to have Barnsley and Diesel, obviously. None of us are idiots.
Mike Brady.
Then you've got to have your half-time now, which is probably
slightly
longer. I'm hoping an international. Could we be lucky enough to jag a Katy Perry? I don't know. Imagine Dragons.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just spitballing.
Yeah.
The fray. As someone who's played in grand finals, obviously, what impact would that 2 hours have on you as a player?
Not massive.
Yeah.
Not massive. You just adjust.
Well, you play so many different time slots through the year.
I think we played maybe 2009 or 10. I think it was a 3 o'clock start anyway. So it was a break from the sort of traditional 2:10 slot. Anyway, so 4 o'clock, players just, they'll cope. Yeah, so I don't think it affects the spectacle from a player's point of view in any way at all.
Are we being conditioned by 4 o'clock? Because why don't they just bite the bullet? Because 4 o'clock, I mean, we were trying to work. It's not even really dark at half time if you're thinking of getting the boss out here.
I think it works.
Yeah, you don't want to just like a 7:10.
Well,
But then that's a really
that's
late
a, that's
finish.
Really late.
That's a late, late
Think of the children.
Well, that's what we did have that lady ring
somebody.
Us.
Yeah. Somebody think of the children.
Somebody think of the children. Well, we did have a woman ring us and go, but the kids want to celebrate too. And
of course.
If the
so
game
4:00.
Ends at 10:30 at night.
Yeah. Too late.
The kids have got to go to bed.
Too late. And if you celebrate after a 10 o'clock, you know, 10 o'clock finish, it's a 5 a.m.
Tough
the next day. Yeah. And then Monday's a slog.
Of course. Yeah, all of that.
Think about the...
Well, we're expecting that announcement today at some point, aren't we?
Is that today, they say?
Yeah.
They've already made their decision, they say, on Wednesday.
Twilight.
Yeah, I think it is.
Thank you. Take it.
Get used to it.
Twilight.
Yeah. It's happening.
Then it's been a busy week for you, Nick, as it always is, but you had Dyson Heppel on the couch this week talking about Luke Parker and the incident that we all saw through the week. Where did you sit on that one?
Well, good on Dyson for coming in because I think a lot of people thought, oh, that's unlucky for him. They've scheduled that in a few weeks ago. And No, we called Dyson and the Essendon Football Club on the Monday, said we'd love to get him in and have a chat. And so Dyson said, yep, I'll front up and represent the club. And that was great. That was really good leadership. Where did I sit on the Luke Parker incident? Look, I was...
For people who might not know, he suggested to Dylan Shield that he hadn't
that
got
he hadn't
his head
gone,
over it.
Yeah, that he hadn't gone hard enough in a contest. I would be surprised if there wasn't some sort of history between those two, Sydney and the Giants.
The Giants,
when Shield was at the Giants, played in some finals and some big games. So there might be some sort of legacy from one of those. A little memory tucked away somewhere. I was really surprised that the Essendon players, well, we were told by Dyson that they didn't even see it or know about it. So I was a bit surprised at that. And
did you buy that?
Well, when Dyson comes in and he sort of looks you in the eye and says, I didn't know about it and I haven't seen it.
What do you
take him? You take him at his word.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
If you'd seen it in your playing day, how would you have responded?
You'd get straight over.
Yeah.
You'd get straight over and you'd remonstrate. And Matthew Lloyd made the point, throw him to the ground, give a free kick
away. I would
away,
have thought so.
Whatever. Mm. And then Dyson said, look, what do we do? We're going to give a free kick away and a 50 and another goal? Well, another goal was irrelevant at that point because the game was over. You were not in the contest. Mm-hmm. And it was an opportunity to stand your ground and stand for something.
I think so.
So I would have as a leader been happy to take that on.
Yeah.
Because you make a bit of a statement and all of a sudden the whole dialogue this week changes.
Yeah.
Because
they stood up for themselves.
Yeah, you lost the game, but you actually stood up for yourself, you stood up for each other.
Yeah.
So it should have started with Dylan Shield because it was right in his face. So he should have gone over and gotten
absolutely
the face of Luke Parker. And you don't get walked over like that. So they would have learnt from it, they would have addressed it, and I would be really surprised if it doesn't happen that often.
You don't see that sort of taunting.
You don't, because players are much more chummy. We see them laughing and smiling and carrying on a lot more than we used to. And that's the way it's gone.
And there's a little less tribalism. There's a lot more player movement.
Yep.
You don't know where you're going to end up in two seasons' time. You don't want to be that guy.
That's right.
And in the same way, I suppose, you don't want to be the guy that reacts either for the similar reasons. You don't want to just shirt front a bloke. But
I
was suggesting full melee, but I was shouted down.
In that situation, that's full melee. That's unique. So I would be very surprised if I was in your team
and I started a full melee, would you have quietly said to me, well done, mate?
Yeah.
Good melee.
In that situation.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you would have said absolutely. Like quite often in a situation like that, the fines for the melee would be split across the entire team.
Perfect.
Mm. Yep, evenly. Because when one of your teammates is challenged in a manner such as that, well, then you fly the flag.
Yes, you do.
You fly the flag for your teammates.
It's a fantastic weekend. Doug Nicholls round. Roo boys have won with their jumper, as we've discussed.
No matter what happens on Saturday afternoon, they're already winners, buddy.
Well, I think we know what's going to happen on Saturday. We're going to beat Melbourne, and people won't believe it. What else has caught your eye?
They're referring to themselves as NAM this weekend.
Yes, they
the
are.
The Demons.
The Ds.
Yeah. The Demons are.
North Melbourne v... Well, would that be North NAM v NAM?
No, North. I saw the area that North is in, and it's a word I don't want to get wrong.
No. So we'll move on.
Yeah. Because I don't want to offend anyone, but I was reading about it last night.
Right.
Carlton Sydney tonight looks
That's
like
a
belter.
Yeah, we've got a live one. We've had a few ordinary ones on Friday nights, but this one looks like an absolute ripper. Carlton, what I think, if anyone is supporting Carlton out there, you would love that you are just starting to see the little progression in parts of their game where they've been really poor in the past, and that's the defensive side of the game. So You couldn't ask for much more from Michael Voss 10 weeks into his into his coaching tenure. Geelong v Port Adelaide, all of a sudden Port, you know, they were done.
They're up
they were done at 0-5. So if Essendon looked no further than Port Adelaide, who have turned their season around. Number one defensive team.
Where is that?
That's down
Geelong. Geelong. Yeah. Oh, well, that makes it a little bit harder.
It's actually not the fortress that it has been in the past for them of late. Lost three of their past five at GMHBA Stadium. Dreamtime's a beauty.
Yeah.
Expect a response from the Bombers. I mean, it's really interesting now for clubs and groups that, and everyone does it their own way. So Essendon have been a, you know, you looked at the way they approached the game last week and there's a lot of smiling and all that. And so I get it. I get that players have changed and the approach has changed. But when you're in a situation now where you've got to fight back, how do you change the environment to be able to generate a response when the status quo hasn't been working?
And it must be frustrating as a coach of a team like the Bombers.
We heard it. We heard it from Ben Rutten yesterday.
You see them in the Anzac Day and they were super competitive. Yep. They were in that all day and then they're just not maintaining any kind of consistency around their football because they could come out and beat Richmond.
Absolutely they could. And that's why this stage is perfect for Essendon this week because there's nowhere to hide. So I'll back them. I'll back them this week to respond.
Anything else caught your eye?
Well, the Giants have got a new coach this week. So you always, when there's a new coach come in, Mark McVay takes over from Leon Cameron. Leon did a terrific job, I thought, with the Giants. And gee, watching him walk off the ground the other day, Leon Cameron, coaching, I'm not sure if it's coaching that took its toll. Leon looked like he'd ridden a horse from Melbourne to Perth without a saddle.
Yeah,
like he looked absolutely spent.
I reckon
so
he was too.
Congratulations to Leon for a great job and excited to see what Mark McVay brings because caretaker coaches want to put their own flavour on the group.
Good time to get the West Coast for him.
It is. Yep, you can get lucky and you can get unlucky. So they're probably the pick of them. But dream time at the G on the Saturday night, I think, is the one we're all just waiting for.
Yeah, well done, Nick. Have a lovely weekend, mate.
Likewise, you too.
Chat to you next week.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.